Hi everyone. I'm Bill Neville, Business Development Manager with the Interest Group. And today we're going to have our guest, Neil Bawa, for eighth time, seventh time,
Something like
something
that,
like
yeah.
that. And this time he's going to be talking about specifically regarding short-term rentals. So sit back, enjoy. We're going to answer questions at the end, so feel free to type in any questions you have in the question box, and then we'll cover every one of them at the end. Before I get into this, as we always do, we bring up this disclosure. Be aware that Entrust is not an advisory company. We don't give tax advice or investment advice, and anything we present is for informational purposes only. So before making any investments, make sure you talk to an advisor. Lawyer, CPA, anybody like that. Entrust is strictly a third-party custodian record keeper. So here's what we're going to go over today. I'm going to talk just shortly about a little bit about Entrust, and we're going to get into the short-term rentals. And this is all the stuff that Neil's going to be talking about. That's me. Go ahead. Next screen. So, Entrust Group, we are self-directed retirement account custodian and record keepers, also known as administrators. Majority of our staff are certified IRA service professionals. We hold these educational webinars every month. Sometimes we have guest speakers, sometimes we don't. For Entrust, we've been in business since 1981. We currently have about $5 billion of holdings. Assets under management. We have currently over 24,000 active accounts. And like I said, we've been in business since 1981, and we provide a single point of contact. So anybody who opens an account with us, if you have any questions or need assistance, you don't just call an 800 number. You get a specific point of contact. So in those in my region, it would be me and my associate, Jacob. So you get a two-team point of contact. All right, I'm going to pass this on. I'm going to go off camera. I'm going to pass this on to Neil. Just FYI, we didn't know what we were going to talk about this month. So we just gave Neil a call and said, "Hey, you got anything you feel like talking about?" And that's how we ended up with this. So, Neil, I'm going to let you take it over from here, and then I'll pop back on after he's done.
Thanks, Bill. Welcome everyone to this webinar about short-term rentals, about Airbnb, and about the emerging trends and risks in the STR or short-term rental industry. I'm Neil Bawa. And some of you do know me because I've presented 8 or 9 times on the Entrust platform. And so you might be wondering, Neil's not a short-term rental guy himself. Well, I've said that to lots and lots of investors that have asked me for, almost demanded a webinar on short-term rentals. So this is really a demand-based webinar. It's a request-based webinar. My partner actually has an enormous amount of experience with Airbnb because she's a super host, and we have 2 properties with Airbnb rentals. So we have some interesting experience with short-term rentals, right? I'm generally very curious about short-term rentals, so I really enjoyed doing the research for this webinar, and I think you'll enjoy the research, but understand that I'm not an expert at this area. So we're going to give you a quick introduction to the STR revolution by breaking down what short-term rentals or STRs really are, right? We're talking about a mix of vacation homes and condos and apartments and even rooms in someone's house. So whether it's a weekend getaway or it's a quick business trip or a temp stay while you're remodeling your kitchen, these STRs have you covered, right? These properties are always rented for less than 30 days. And honestly, they cover a pretty broad range, right? So the magic of STR is flexibility, right? You can stay anywhere from a mountain cabin to a city loft to even in a tree, right? So they give you that home away from home feeling, except you're paying by the night instead of, by the month. So let's dive into why people love STR so much. Firstly, for Airbnb hosts or STR hosts, it's about making the extra income, right? You're renting out a room or an entire property. It's a great way to bring in some cash. And the guests, they love the variety. I love the variety. So STRs offer a more personal, a more unique experience than your typical hotel. You can stay in a charming local neighborhood and or in, rather than some generic, hotel chain off the highway. Plus, there's a good chance you'll meet some interesting people along the way, fellow guests or even your host. And don't forget the community benefit, right? SDRs are bringing tourists and bringing dollars into areas that might not see a lot of hotel traffic. So it's a win-win situation for everyone. So here's a quick video.
The short-term rental industry has taken the hospitality world by storm. Only a few years ago, most travelers stayed in hotels. But home-sharing platforms like Airbnb, HomeAway, and Vrbo have changed this habit. Home-sharing or short-term rental platforms particularly have grown rapidly over the last decade as property owners have capitalized the opportunity to rent out rooms, apartments, and even entire homes to travelers looking for short-term rentals. Among these home-sharing platforms, Airbnb is the market's largest player, with over 7 million listings in 220 countries and territories.
I'll stop there because I want to talk about Airbnb. I mean, this is the biggest company in the short-term rental space, the 800-pound gorilla. And so how do they make their money? Well, it's actually pretty brilliant, right? They connect people who need a place to stay with people who have extra space to rent. Hosts make money by renting out their homes or apartments, and guests get these affordable or unique places to stay. And Airbnb takes a cut from both sides. So they take about 3% from hosts and about 5 to 15% from the guests, right? So it's basically a middleman and one that's really good at turning a profit. So they provide the platform, they facilitate the payments, and they've built a multi-billion dollar business. So it's pretty impressive. These are, I'm going to give you some of the milestones and give you a quick overview of the industry before we dive in deeper, right? So let's take a little trip down Airbnb's memory lane. So it started back in 2008 with a loft in San Francisco. Fast forward to today, and they are a global giant. In just a few years, just in 3 years, they'd expanded internationally. They'd opened offices in Europe. By 2019, they had hosted over 500 million guests, right? That's impressive, right? Even the pandemic couldn't slow them down. By 2020, they went public. They were valued at $47 billion. I mean, that's the kind of growth that startups really dream about, right? And they've added a lot of cool things along the way, like Airbnb experiences and Airbnb Plus. Now let's talk about the competition. When it comes to booking accommodations, obviously, they're not the only player in the game. In fact, Booking.com here leads the charge with a staggering $94 billion in value, followed by Airbnb, right around $69 billion. VRBO is around $15 billion. So these companies, what they're doing really is they're disrupting the global hotel giants like Marriott and Hilton, Hyatt. And they're showing that travelers are actually looking for a personalized, very flexible accommodation options. And as a result, they're growing much faster than traditional hotels, which is why they're getting so much attention. Now, here's where, you look at where things are in terms of, size, and you see this massive, massive difference, right? So you've got Airbnb versus the global hotel titans. Hyatt, they've been around forever, right? $15 billion, and Airbnb is at $94 billion. So that's it. These are shocking numbers. So, this is where things get really exciting, right? The short-term industry, the rental industry is booming. So in 2023, the market was valued at $29 billion. By 2033, it's projected to nearly triple from that size to $81 billion, right? That's a huge leap in just 10 years. And who is driving this growth? Well, there's millennials, there's Gen Z. They're leading the way, whether, it's work or travel. And it's not just about quick weekend trips anymore. We're now seeing longer stays, more family vacations, and this shift towards non-urban destinations, right? Post-COVID, people are gravitating towards quieter, less crowded spots. So it's clear that this is not a passing trend. This is the future of travel, right? I just want to emphasize something to you investors, because obviously Entrust has investors on here. The industry is supposed to have double-digit growth on average in the next decade. Any industry that grows more than 2 to 3% a year is growing much faster than the norm. So it's fair to say that the short-term in rental industry is going to grow much faster than the typical industry. That's the bottom line. That's the good news. Now, with all of this growth, obviously comes a bit of a backlash, right? Cities across the US are starting to crack down on SDRs. We're talking about stricter regulations, especially in big cities like New York, San Francisco. Why? Well, there's concerns about housing affordability, neighborhood disruption, tax revenue, right? Basically, SDRs make it harder for locals to find affordable short-term housing, and the cities, they don't get their share of the pie in terms of taxes. So these cities are trying to find that balance between letting SDRs operate and keeping their communities intact. In some cities, they've had enough. I mean, they've either banned or heavily restricted short-term rentals. So look at places like New York City, San Francisco, Santa Monica. These cities are drawing hard lines. In New York, you can't rent out an entire home for less than 30 days unless the host is present. That's weird. In San Francisco, you're limited to 90 days a year if you're renting out the whole place. And Santa Monica, they've just outright banned unit rentals. You can only do home sharing, right? So violating these rules get you hit with some major fines up to $7,500 in certain cities. So I thought you might be, you know, investors before you invest in an Airbnb home might be interested in some trends. You know, where's the data pushing you to? Is this a profitable business? So let me give you a recap of the business, right? So let's start with 2023. It was a bit of a mixed year for the SDR industry. We saw a 4.9, about roughly 5% drop in RevPAR. RevPAR is revenue per available rental. And this was the first full year decline since 2014. So most hosts saw their revenues take a hit, partly because supply surged. So it surged to about 1.6 million listings. And this spike in incoming supply meant that occupancy rates also took a dive, forcing hosts to lower their prices. But on the flip side, July 2023 saw record demand for nights booked, right? So the economy was stable, low unemployment, easing inflation. So while it was a challenging year for revenues, there was a lot of demand. What about 2024, this year? Well, it's shaping up to be another strong year for SDRs. We're looking at more listings, higher occupancy, and a small bump in daily rates. So even after last year's challenging, demand continues to be on the rise. And even with 210,000 new properties hitting the market, right? And we are seeing higher occupancy rates, right? Even the daily rates are expected to see a slight bump this year. Last year was rough, but it looks like the demand is really bouncing back. And investors are clearly seeing opportunity here, you know, especially with domestic travel in the US, you know, trending strong. So we think that the market is actually primed for continued growth. Let's talk about that growth in listings, right? So it's been nothing short of a roller coaster. Now, during the pandemic, we saw a significant drop in short-term rentals. You know, all travel came to a halt. But once things started opening back up in 2021, 2022, the listings really rebounded hard, right? And they surpassed the pre-COVID numbers. In 2023 alone, an additional 340,000 listings came online between just February and July. And then we had another 300,000 by October. Right? So that's great for travelers. You have more options, but it also means a lot more competition for hosts, right? So today revenues are 17% higher than pre-COVID levels, but costs have shot up. Mortgages, much higher. Insurance, much higher. Those have risen over 130% since 2020. So while the market's expanding, profitability is tighter. It's lower. And you know, you need some smart pricing strategies to make money in Airbnb. So here's the not so glamorous slide, right? This is why you're here at this webinar. You want data. Investment yields are down. The amount of money you make when you invest $100, right? That's called the investment yield. Well, how much money are you making back? Well, that's down. Costs are up, right? Yields peaked at about 10% during COVID in this area here, right? So now they're scraping below 3%. As if you know, 3% is not considered good yield. Right? Why? Mortgage rates up, insurance up, right? So you've got the revenues up, but the costs are really eating into your profits. So SDRs, unfortunately, at this point, at least, they're not the cash cows that they used to be, right? So because of this, the industry is growing, but investability, that word, investability is actually at an all-time low, right? So the industry has significant challenges. What about occupancy? Well, occupancy is holding steady in most places, but large urban cities, they're the ones taking a bit of a hit. So coastal resorts, mid-sized cities, they're seeing gains, right? Which tells us that people are still chasing, you know, that Instagram-worthy, get away from it all destination sort of stuff. But, you know, not too many people are rushing back to the office yet, not everyone. And so suburban and rural SDRs are still cashing in at this point, right? So So that's sort of where we are at. So you can see the trends here. Okay, what about the revenue forecast for 2024? This is where the crystal ball comes out. So we've done our research for this webinar. We're predicting a slight bump in revenue, about 3%. We think that the overall occupancy for all SDRs in the US will hold stable around 54%, right? Sure, the industry took a bit of a correction in 2023, but 2024, we should see a little bit of an improvement, right? So tortoise, not hare. All right. So now I'm going to talk about some cutting-edge tools. A lot of people want to invest in Airbnbs. And today, with investability so low and margins so low, you can't really do it without cutting-edge tools, right? If you're serious about managing these short-term rentals, you need the tools. So first up is AirDNA. This platform is a game changer for market insights, for revenue forecasting. And they've got tools like Rentalizer and MarketMinder, and they help you see what your property can earn based on the local data. And then there's these guys, Beyond Pricing, right? They use real-time data to adjust your rates up and down, right? So ensuring you stay competitive 24 hours a day. These guys, Price Lab, they also offer dynamic prices so you can fine-tune your strategies based on, you know, the demand in your markets. These guys, Mashvisor, they help you analyze rental performance and Hospitable, I think they're now called SmartBnB. They automate guest communication across multiple booking platforms. So, you know, you could be booking through Vrbo, Airbnb, Booking.com, and they automate that competition. These guys, they bring it all together. They're offering market analysis, future trend insights, and a whole bunch of other things as well, right? So these tools, they can streamline everything from pricing to guest communication. So, you know, they're freeing you up to scale your business, right? Let's dive deeper into one of the most important aspects, intelligence platforms, right? So this is like your all-seeing eye into the SDR world. With these cutting-edge platforms, you get real-time insights into your property's performance, your market trends, and even competitor data. So imagine having a personal assistant that tells you exactly when to adjust your rates or when your next rental hotspot will be. You know, these don't just gather data, they analyze the data, right? So you'll know which guests to target, which seasons to prepare for, how to maximize every square foot of your rental, right? It's like a crystal ball, except this one actually works. Okay. Legal landscapes. I touched on this briefly, but I really think that this is something that is important that you need to know about, right? Regulations are now a huge hurdle in the SDR game. I mentioned San Francisco requires hosts to live on site for most of the year. Boston has strict codes. New York won't even let you rent your whole, place for less than 30 days unless you're there with a guest. So these are massive challenges, and we are seeing more and more of these pop up.
Starting today, short-term rental hosts in New York, that's Airbnb or Booking.com, they're going to have to register with the city, and they have to comply with a new law that states you cannot rent out your entire apartment for less than 30 days, and hosts can only offer short-term rentals if they remain with their guests in the apartment. Hosts face fines of up to $5,000 per violation. There are about 40,000 Airbnbs in New York, but rampant abuse, that's where hosts rented dozens of units as kind of shadow hotel rooms. That led to a lot of neighbor and building complaints. City council members also say Airbnbs have raised rents in New York since they've taken all that inventory off the normal rental market. Airbnb calls the rules, quote, a blow to New York's tourism economy, and the thousands of New Yorkers and small businesses in the outer boroughs who rely on home sharing and tourism dollars to make ends meet in a very expensive city. Now, hosts say registration is almost impossible. Many have waited months for approval. Thousands of Airbnb listings have already started disappearing from the website. City councils in Dallas, Philadelphia, and New Orleans have passed similar rules. So far, they haven't had much effect because they're so hard to enforce. This will be the test for New York starting today.
There's also this issue of fairness, right? So short-term rentals aren't exactly playing on the same field as hotels. Take New York City, for example, right? SDRs need to register with the mayor's office of special enforcement. They need to meet very strict safety standards, and they need to cap, you know, occupancy limits, the number of people that can live there. They're also subject to hotel taxes, right? So 5.875% hotel tax plus a bunch of other fees. Meanwhile, in Tampa, on the right side, Fewer restrictions, no need for host presence, no occupancy limits, no state-level advertising rules. So there's this disparity that creates a very uneven playing field between SDRs in different regions, right? You need to know that as an investor. So regulation consistency would be a game changer. It would level the field between the SDR hosts and all the traditional hotels. But we're not seeing Congress pay any attention to this, right? So this is the regulatory wild, wild west. And before you invest the money, you should know you're investing in something that's the wild, wild west. Here's an example. San Francisco has something called Chapter 41A. This is a set of regulations that's designed to manage housing supply and protect neighborhood integrity, right? So if you want to rent out your entire home, you can't do it for more than 90 days a year unless you live on the property. They also have hefty compliance costs, things like $500,000 in liability insurance, 14% transient occupancy tax, and then a bunch of additional tourism fees, right? So this makes, you know, operating an SDR in San Francisco a nightmare. I mean, very complicated, right? So the goal here is to preserve long-term housing. They want to reduce all these neighborhood disturbances, but it's definitely becoming harder for investors like you to operate. Bill 41, this is another example. This is in Hawaii. Essentially makes short-term rentals illegal unless they're operating as a bed and bath or TVU, which is transient vacation unit. And get this, there are no new licenses that are being issued for B&B or TVUs in residential areas. So if you don't already have one, you're out of luck unless your property is in a resort zone. These guys, they actually need you to have $1 million in liability insurance. So, you know, a lot of costs and, you know, limits the areas where they can operate, right? So this is, there's a lot less choices, and this is spreading across the US. Now, what about state level legislation? Well, we're seeing more moves towards regulating SDRs because at the federal level, Congress is not interested. New York passed that legislation, so they created that statewide registry, right? Florida followed suit with a bill that allows local governments to charge registration fees and also fine non-compliant SDR owners. So Oregon is also considering bills that would regulate SDR at the state level. In Texas, proposals have been made to limit local control over SDR. So every state is trying to find some kind of a balance between, you know, benefiting from all that extra tourism and then also protecting their communities. So obviously this is the profits are being squeezed. So it's useful to have some best practices. What are the effective management practices? What is your playbook, right? First off, you've got to stay informed, right? As I mentioned, that landscape is ever changing. So you need to be plugged into local regulations, into market trends. So please join SDR associations, follow newsletters. Next, diversify, optimize platforms, right? Airbnb is great, but why are you stopping there? List your properties on VRBO, list it on booking.com, and even promote direct bookings through your own website, social media, SEO, so you can increase visibility, increase your bookings, right? If restrictions are tough, consider adapting rental models, like offering longer stays, longer than 30 days, so you can bypass a bunch of regulations and you can target corporate housing clients. Compliance is non-negotiable. You've got to keep your permits up to date. You've got to ensure tax filings are accurate. And lastly, engage with the community, right? Join local advocacy groups, attend city meetings, so you can play a role in shaping future regulations. You don't want anything draconian happening in your market, right? So create a support network. Then let's take it up a notch, right? Enhance your property, right? Enhancing the hospitality is a game changer. You know, invest in amenities that all of your guests crave, like, you know, fiber internet or a cozy outdoor space. Small touches, right? Welcome notes, guidebooks. They make a big impact on guest satisfaction. And then there's dynamic prices, right? Adjust your pricing based on market conditions. So tools like Beyond Pricing or Price Labs, they can help you stay competitive year round. Also, target marketing is crucial. So know your audience. Is it families? Is it digital nomads? What about couples, right? And tailor all of your marketing accordingly. Use a lot of pro photos, use catchy descriptions written by ChatGPT, and enticing offers like discounts for longer stays or off-peak seasons. And finally, be responsive. Quick, almost immediate replies to inquiries, prompt communication, right? And addressing the guest feedback. That's how you earn those five-star reviews. Let's walk through a real life example, right? So this host was struggling with a 55% occupancy rate, and they turned it around by using MarketMinder to study local competition in New York City, they identified high demand times like Fashion Week. So they adjusted their rates and they offered discounts during off-peak seasons, and their occupancy went from 55 to 75. They also invested in pro-level photos, which I highly, highly recommend, and that massively improved their listings visibility, right? And to attract business travelers and remote workers, they offered 30 plus day longer rentals. So they made simple changes. They upgraded the kitchen, they added a rooftop terrace, and they turned this property into a prime listing. Their revenue went up 30% in just 6 months. All right, before I move on to the best markets in the United States, this is our last section, the best markets in the US for STRs and why they're the best, I wanted to discuss a shattered dream, right? The American dream of owning a home, it's been completely and utterly destroyed. Over the last 15 years, it's become practically impossible for a middle-class family that earns $60,000 to $85,000 a year to buy a starter home anywhere in the US. That's been devastating news for 18 million hardworking families throughout the country. Basically, they're left with two bad choices. Either they go to the boonies and rent a very old single-family home, or they completely abandon the American dream of living in a home and live in an apartment instead. But that's not what families want. They want to live in a home, even if it's a rental home, right? And in America, there's a shortage of 4.7 million homes. Our answer is on this page. This is an example of a completed build-to-rent townhome community, which is a template for Mission 10K, right? Mission 10K is our answer to this shortage. We feel that people don't want to live in apartments and they can't afford single family homes. So instead of building apartments, we are building lower density townhomes. Everyone has a garage. Everyone has a driveway. Everyone has a backyard. Everyone has nobody running above and below above them or below them. And we are able to do this at very reasonable prices. This community was built in 2023 and people are paying about $20,000 a year in rent and are living in a brand new unit with 3 bedrooms, 2.5 baths, 9-foot ceilings. We're able to do that because we're targeting the best markets in the United States where this is possible, markets with low construction costs. So our goal is not to be fancy like apartments, right? We don't have infinity pools. We don't have, rooftop clubhouses. We don't have any of that. All we have is a common courtyard, dog park, some privacy fences for your backyard, and playgrounds and picnic tables. Why? Because these people are not looking for the fancy stuff. These are families. They want privacy. They want lower density. And that's all they're looking for. That's all we're looking to offer. So, obviously, the question comes up, is this profitable? And the answer is yes. You notice that on this slide, all of the numbers have been removed. That's because you're in an IRA webinar. So we are, we use compliance. But we're happy to share this data with you. If you'd reach out to us, I'll share my information with you. Bottom line is that our goal is for Mission 10K to provide a replacement American dreams, where every family experiences a place called home. And so far, the projects that we've made have been extremely successful. So this is a very focused, specific mission. We're only building 10,000 affordable homes in smaller markets, so not Los Angeles, not Boston. And we're only going for markets where the cost of construction is low, property taxes are low, insurance is low. We're not offering fancy amenities like pools, gyms. The townhome is the amenity, right? And they're designed for people that make 60 to 85K in income. We're trying to keep our rents below $2,000 a month while offering people 3 bedrooms. We're building these all over the place. Northwest Arkansas, that's Rogers and Bentonville. Kansas City, we're in construction there. Indianapolis, Reno, Idaho Falls. These are excellent growth markets that where construction costs are low enough for us to do this. And we'd like to invite all of you to come with us. And we'd like to share numbers with you. I'll share my contact information with you. All right. That was my one minute advertisements. And now I'll finish off the webinar with the best markets in the US for SDRs. Where should you be looking if you want to invest in short-term rentals? Let's start with Columbus, Georgia. Not Columbus, Ohio, but Columbus, Georgia. Well, it boasts a high cap rate, which means prices are low, and a very reasonable home price of around 161K. The occupancy rate in this market is 60%, which by the way, for SDRs is very high. The average daily rate is a Fantastic, 178K. So you're pulling in about $29,000 in annual revenue on a 161K home. Another one, Logan, Ohio, another hotspot, with a whopping 12.2% cap rate. So home prices are very cheap, right? Now, overall, home values are higher, but the average daily rate is $343 a night, making this a very profitable area. And for those willing to invest a bit more, try Sneed's Ferry in North Carolina and also Port Angeles in Washington, because both of them offer strong ADRs, strong occupancy levels, very solid returns. The key here is you want home prices to be low, but occupancy levels and ADRs to be high. And that's what makes these 10 markets very attractive for STR investors. Let's zoom in on some other markets that are not just about high occupancy rates, but also about strong average daily rates and revenue growth. So in Abiquiú, I don't know how to pronounce that, Abiquiú, New Mexico, the ADR is over 200 with a 63% occupancy rate. But this is actually one of those smaller, less crowded markets that are, very popular post-COVID. You've got Cook City, Montana. It's another standout with an ADR of 318 and a 67% occupancy rate. That's phenomenal. Keep in mind, this market has zoning and safety regulations are strict. Moving on to the mountains, you've got Rico, Colorado, offers a solid 63% occupancy and $244 ADR. Now, these areas, they don't have the sheer volume of the big city markets, but they're increasingly attractive because, you got favorable regulations, you got less competition. Some of them have screen tourism, where people are going to see where movies have been shot. Some of them have unique experiential stays that are pulling out these niche travelers. Now, what about the bigger cities? What about the big ones? Okay, if you're looking for the big cities where SDRs can thrive without being buried in a lot of red tape, here's a top list of big cities. Tampa, Florida, and Orlando, Florida lead the charge with SDR-friendly policies. They're very friendly. So you got fewer regulations, higher profitability. Miami is another hotspot, strong demand for short-term rentals, fewer barriers to entry compared to places like New York, San Francisco. Jacksonville, Florida. Chicago, Illinois are top contenders. They offer reasonable regulations and you still benefit from a lot of tourism. So these cities, they're striking a balance between allowing SDRs to flourish and also maintaining their community integrity, making them prime targets for you when you buy, short-term rentals. All right, to wrap this up, the SDR market is booming and is expected to boom much faster than the US for the next 10 years. Right. But it is a little bit of a wild, wild west. Regulations are increasing, but the market's also growing, especially in less urban areas. So use your technology tools, stay compliant, and keep an eye on emerging trends. The future's bright as long as you play your cards right and you stay flexible and compliant. So that's our show today. We don't have an Airbnb package or product to offer you. We're not looking for you to partner with Airbnb. For most of you that know me, we buy large multifamily, $650 million portfolio, about 1,000 investors. But we use the same data science that you saw today to buy and build multifamily. You saw our townhome initiative, Mission 10K. Each year, we offer webinars. We do 20-plus power-packed webinars at multifamilyuniversity.com. They're free. There's no upsell. There's no education. I also present on this platform, the Entrust platform, twice a year. And so I'll hand it back over to Bill to take it through to the end. Bill?
Okay, thanks. And again, I'll remind everybody, go ahead and type questions into the Q&A box. And I just take 5 minutes here and just talk real quickly about investing inside an IRA, and I'll focus this on the real estate part of it specifically. What is exactly a self-directed retirement account? I think we have a lot of account holders on here, so you're going to know all this, but it's essentially an retirement account in which, one, you make all the investment decisions, and two, you can invest in non-traditional investments. Go ahead and flip to the next screen. So instead of just being limited to stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, with banks and brokerage firms typically limit you, the IRS doesn't limit you. The IRS says you can invest in pretty much anything you want, but you just have to have your account with a custodian who's willing to hold those types of investments. So we are still regulated the same way that banks and brokerage firms are from a regulatory standpoint, except since we don't provide advice, we're not subject to FINRA rules and things like that. But in terms of your IRA with us, still has the same tax rules, same contribution rules, same distribution rules, et cetera, et cetera. The only difference is in the service we provide. We don't provide advice, and we hold non-traditional assets. So there are the different types of self-directed IRAs or IRAs. You have pre-tax accounts that grow tax deferred, like traditional IRAs and SEP IRAs. And then you have, go ahead, Neil, you have tax-free earnings, which is a Roth IRA, right? So with a tax-deferred account, they're pre-tax contributions. You get a deduction when you make the contribution. It lowers your taxable income that year, but any earnings grow tax-deferred. So at some point when you take a withdrawal, you have to pay income tax on that withdrawal, as opposed to a Roth IRA. Your contribution is not tax-deductible. You don't get to deduct on your taxes, but any earnings grow tax-free as long as you're over 59 and a half and have had a Roth IRA for at least 5 years when you take the withdrawal. Note that when investing in certain things, it could be subject to what's called unrelated business taxable income. This are two scenarios. It's one in which your IRA is running a business. So for example, if your IRA owns a franchise, for example, then the IRA could be subject to UBTI. The other option is what's called unrelated debt finance income tax, which is sort of the opposite sides of the same coin, is when you're using leverage. So typically with real estate, if you buy a property and your IRA borrows money to buy that property, then a percentage of the income could be subject to unrelated debt finance income tax. And quickly, what I mean by that is if you, let's say, put 50% down and the IRA borrows 50%, and then at the end of the year, your IRA earns $20,000 in income. 50% of that income is subject to unrelated debt finance income tax because 50% of the income came from non-tax sheltered money. It came from borrowed money or money outside the IRA. So if you want to invest using your IRA, if you want to invest in real estate or whatever, you just have to open a self-directed account, open a traditional IRA or a Roth IRA, fund your account, transfer rollover money from your current custodian to your account with us, and then instruct us to make the investment that you want to make. And that investment's held in the name of your IRA, not in your personal name. So if you want to invest in real estate, the name of the owner of that real estate would be the Entrust Group for benefit of your name and account number. And so any rental income gets paid directly to the IRA. Any expenses like property taxes, insurance gets paid from the IRA. So I think that's it. If you want to jump to the next screen, just feel free to go to our website if you want to learn more about self-directed IRAs. We also post all of our webinars on there. So this will show up on there in a day or two. You'll also be emailed a link to be able to watch this webinar again and follow us on social media. All right, let's get to the Q&A. Neil, you want to put the next screen up? It'll just keep our contact. So we'll just keep that on the screen so that you have both mine and Neil's info. So let's get right into this. The first question says, will we also discuss midterm and long-term rental investing strategies? If not, will that be a future webinar? So obviously it's not discussed on this one. Andrew, who's our marketing team who runs kind of these webinars, I guess we can, we'll keep that in mind for 2025. And I guess we can potentially talk to Neil if that's something he wants to present, or maybe we can, you know, if not, we might be able to bring somebody else. Neil, you're on mute.
Usually at the beginning of the year, I do one called Real Estate Trends. And I think I've done that 4 years running. And it definitely focuses on midterm and long-term rental investing strategies. So that one usually is in January or February. So I'm not sure if I'll be doing that for Entrust this year, but watch out for that. If you want to see
He'll be doing it if he wants to do it. That's probably our favorite webinar. And you're right. We usually have that around February, March, that time frame. So that's all about
long-term rentals.
That's a great presentation. And it looks at, you know, just investing in real estate in general. But yeah, I think that probably is a little more geared towards the long-term investment strategy. Says, are you going to be talking about investing in short-term rental companies? And what does the forecast look like for return? So you didn't talk about that specifically, but do you have anything you want to add?
There's a reason. There's a reason. I have to say that all of the companies that basically are buying short-term rentals and having investors invest in them, they're all going out of business. So, Hair.co, HERE.co is probably the best known one, and they had bought, 200 rentals. They're in a liquid in liquidation. There's three or four others. So I have become very wary of giving, throwing up slides that show short-term rental companies because they're dropping like flies. What happened is a lot of them bought, rentals at the peak in 2021 and 2022, and after that, when interest rates went up, a lot of them had adjustable rate mortgages, and so those mortgages doubled or tripled. And even though their properties were doing well and their income was going up, they just couldn't make it work. So at the moment, I'm very wary of listing one. Maybe in the future, if they stabilize, I will do so. But apologies, I didn't want to, put you in touch with somebody that goes out of business next year.
Okay, what advice do you have about hiring a property manager to run your vacation rentals? I'm gonna give my feedback on this, and then I'm gonna let you jump in, Neil. From a standpoint of a self-directed IRA investing in a rental, it's a good idea to, from a standpoint of making sure that you don't commit a prohibited transaction, potentially having a property manager. So we think it's probably good practice. Not that it's required. And I'm specifically talking about if somebody, if you're using your IRA to invest in a rental property.
I would very strongly advise a property manager unless you have a huge amount of time. So I'll just say this. My partner, Anna Myers, is a Airbnb host, super host. And we did an analysis about 3 or 4 years ago of how much time does an Airbnb unit take compared to a long-term rental unit in terms of times per year. It's 20x. So it takes 20 times more your time to manage a short-term rental than it does to manage that same rental as a long-term rental. So you've got to have plenty of time. Now, in terms of hiring a property manager, I'm really hoping that you will do that. Please don't hire one that does long-term rentals. They are terrible at managing short-term rentals. They're absolutely awful. They will not get you five-star reviews. So you basically have to manage a property manager that is doing short-term rentals. Now, how do you find them? Well, the best way to find them is, let's say your property is in Charleston, Charleston, South Carolina, right? So actually type in into Airbnb the zip code where your property is going to be, the property that you're looking to buy. Put in the zip code and then see what comes up. You'll see, dozens of rentals come up. Now go to each rental page and start writing down the name of the company that manages them. It's on the page. And basically find the company that has the best reviews, but also has a large number of, rentals in your area. Because short-term rentals are very visit specific. They have to go to the property all the time. So, getting a property manager that's 50 miles away is not good. You want somebody that actually lives locally. And a lot of short-term property managers are really two people, like, one person with one assistant, and they're covering a local area. So you want somebody that gets consistent five-star reviews and is somebody that is managing a lot of properties within a 2 mile radius of your property. That's the right property manager to hire. And you have to hire them through the Airbnb website. And luckily, you'll get to see their reviews anyway. So quality is not an issue here, right? I mean, I wish you could that would happen for, long-term rentals. But when it comes to Airbnb, quality is not an issue. You will find the right people, just follow their reviews.
Okay, the next question, Neil, this is for you. Where do you get your ADR and occupancy rates? And the person said they would love to know this for their local area.
AirDNA.com. Go to AirDNA.com and get a subscription. I assure you, it's the best money that you're going to spend, regardless of where your rental is. Because what I find is that investors, when investors tell me about a certain market, they're like, "Oh, so and so market's really great. Myrtle Beach is really great." Now, Myrtle Beach could be a truly great market for rentals, but if there's 2,000 new units coming in that are getting listed, you're going to get slaughtered. The only way to know how good a market is to use AirDNA.
The next question asks, how does it work when your management company needs your federal identification number? If you give them the LLC number, then will the IRS expect a tax return? I mean, I can have some feedback as far as if your IRA is an investor. I don't know, Neil, if you've got anything you want to.
I think my answer is going to be similar to yours, but go ahead.
Well, okay. So when your IRA is an investor, there is a way to go on to the IRS website and apply for a tax identification number for your IRA. And we provide instructions. So if you're planning on using an IRA, you will need, I mean, if your management company is requiring that, then you will need to go on to a onto the IRS website. It takes 5 to 10 minutes to apply for a tax ID number. It's not complicated, but there is, you know, some things you need to know that we provide instructions on how to do that. And then you give them the LLC number, then will the IRS expect a tax return? That would be a question for a CPA. But I mean, you will have, I mean, if you're going to do an LLC, you do need to require, you do need to get a tax ID number for your LLC. And it's the same scenario in that if you're going to do an LLC and you need a tax ID number for the member of the LLC, which in this case would be, if it's not you as a person, it would be your IRA, then you would need to go on the IRS website and apply for a tax ID number for the IRA. But they would all tie back to when you get that tax ID number, you're telling them it's for an IRA, which is a tax sheltered entity. So even if you do have to file a return, it shouldn't be, again, when it's an IRA, it won't be subject to taxable consequences, at least not federal tax or even state income tax, because it's a tax sheltered entity. Unrelated debt finance income tax would be another issue if you're using leverage money. So that's my answer to that question.
Yeah, I think if let's say you're just buying a regular property and you're not doing it through an IRA and you're using the LLC, you definitely would have to file a tax return. If you're using the LLC, my belief is that you will have to file a tax return. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you want to talk to a CPA, right, before doing any of this stuff.
Yeah.
Are there any legal challenges to city-state regs in the courts? And followed up saying, seems to this person that the property, it's a property rights issue, and that he should be able to rent his home to anyone for any length of time.
I wish you were right, Raymond, but you're not. The city states, so we believe that just because we own a home, we should be able to do whatever we wish with it. No, actually, there are laws that specifically restrict what we can do. Also, cities have the right to change those laws over time. So as far as I know, no one has succeeded in basically knocking down these laws that the cities are implementing. And it's a very long process anyway, which is why you really need to be part of the local SDR group. So in any city, there's a bunch of people doing short-term rentals, and they have their own association, their own community. You need to join that community. But if you believe that you can just do anything with a home that you want just because you own it, that's not true.
Okay. Somebody else I saw, I think Andrew answered the question probably directly, asked if this mm-hmm. is going to be recorded. Yeah, this meeting gets recorded. The webinar gets recorded. And a link is, we have a post on our website. We have a YouTube page we posted. And also we email the link to everybody who's registered. So that was the last question. I was kind of vamping a bit, see if anybody had any more questions. Here's one that came in by email. Let me see. Andrew's sending that. Once you have a couple of successful short-term rental properties, what is a good strategy to use to finance your next property?
So what you can do is you can wrap. So usually you need to have a significant, record of success. So what you can do is, you finance the first one, you finance the third one, now you're buying the third one. There are a number of companies out there now, and you can go to an SDR convention or conference, and they all have booths set up there. So what they do is they actually put all three of your properties into a single loan. That way you can scale, because otherwise most people can't get more than four loans, right? But they can actually put all of them into a single loan. So these wrap loans are usually available at Airbnb and other SDR conferences that you can go to. And you just walk up to their booth and they give you more information.
All right, Neil, thanks for doing this on such short-term notice. And,
well, it's short-term rental, so I had to do it on short notice.
Yeah, exactly. We have to stay on brand here. Again, Neil's going to be back in a few months for his annual State of the market. It's always excellent, and it's actually the way that Neil and I first got connected with each other was I saw his presentation, and so look for him again in February, March, and these are, you know, we do monthly webinars, so keep an eye out on what we're going to be doing each month. I'm not even actually sure what we've got scheduled for December, but I'm pretty sure that I'm going to be the one leading again. All right. Thanks again, Neil. Thanks for everybody for joining. Have a great, great rest of the week and the holidays, and stay dry.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Bill. Bye-bye.